Take your Bibles, please, and turn to Psalm 91 for the message tonight. Psalm 91. I want you to listen very carefully tonight, and I'm going to preach a little different message tonight, but I think it is something that all of us can use. I'm going to reference one element of our church tonight, but there is application for all elements of the church tonight. That's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to know tonight in the message. So you'll see it in just a few moments. But I want you to listen carefully. There are some things here that I'm going to say tonight that I think can be applied to an overwhelming majority of our church that I think need to be said. So I want you to give me your attention tonight. Psalm 91, we'll not read the entire psalm, just the first six verses. But the psalmist David is writing here, and he says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday." Now here is a psalm that was written for encouragement to the people of God. Here is a psalm, and you remember that they put music to these psalms, and they sung them as hymns. They were sung when they went to the temple. They were sung when they worshipped. They were hymns like we sing hymns out of the hymn book. But here is a beautiful song that encouraged God's people to look to the Lord and trust the Lord, and there are several things that are mentioned here, but I want you to focus on verse 6, especially on the last part of verse 6. David said that we should not be afraid, and then he said, "For the destruction that wasteth at noonday." I want to speak to you tonight on what I'm going to entitle Noonday Destruction. Noonday Destruction. And you'll see where I'm going in just a minute. Let's pray together now and ask the Lord to help us. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for the music we've heard tonight. My, what a thrill to the heart to hear the songs of the Savior. And Lord, I pray that you will bless that music to our hearts this evening. Lord, help us now as we look at the Word of God. Lord, I pray that you will give us a desire to want to learn and hear. And Lord, I pray that we'll have open hearts to receive your word this evening. Lord, thank you so much for the encouragement that is given in the Scripture. Thank you, Lord, for the admonitions to guard and to be watchful and to be careful. And Lord, help us here to realize the psalmist's request. That we need not be afraid, no matter what time of the day it is, no matter what time of life it is. Lord, we have a God who is greater than all. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And so, Lord, help us to take the admonition and learn from it tonight. Lord, I pray that you will fill me with your Spirit as I speak this evening. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want you to use the message to make a difference in our lives. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. As I said just a moment ago, this psalm contains some of the most encouraging words for the people of God, some of the most encouraging words that are found in the Scriptures. The psalmist speaks of the security that is given to those that dwell in a relationship with God and in fellowship with God. And the promise is that no matter what may come our way, there is victory, there is strength, there is peace, there is safety in trusting in the Lord. That's his challenge. He's just wanting you to realize that no matter where you are in life, no matter what time of the day it is, no matter if you're young or you're old or just whenever, you can trust in the Lord and you can find the strength and the peace and the victory and the safety in putting your trust in the Lord. Now, in the last part of verse 6, there is a phrase that I want us to look at this evening that I want to develop the message around. While talking about the life, the life of a believer who is trusting in the Lord, the psalmist says that the believer need not fear the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Now, I have many years ago, committed this psalm to memory, and I've preached from this psalm on a number of occasions in the last 30-some years. But I read it this week, and it was like I was reading it again for the first time. I don't know if I had just never really stopped to consider what was being said, but when I got to verse 5 and 6, and I started reading, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, night, day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." I thought, well, now, wait a minute, he's covered a 24-hour period right there. He is pretty well covered a day. And so I thought, well, what is he saying here? And I just sat and I thought about it and prayed about it and read it over and over and over. And I thought of that phrase and wondered how in the world could I develop a sermon around it. And then it hit me. You know, in literature, in poetry, in song, the life of a man is pictured using the symbol of a day. We see that all the time in literature, in poetry, and in song. The day is divided into four basic units. There is the morning, there is the noon, there's the afternoon, and there is the night. So the morning, noon, afternoon, and night, or evening. And we speak of the morning, and we parallel the morning and compare that to infancy or to childhood. We talk about someone being in the infant stages, in the early stages of their life. And of course, we know that the morning is the early part of the day. As the morning is the beginning of the day, so is infancy the beginning of a life. Then we describe old age as being as the evening of the day. The poet will speak of that period of life where the sun is setting for us. As the afternoon progresses toward evening and the shadows lengthen, we associate that with one who is growing older and slowing down and moving maybe a little bit more slowly. And that leaves only one other part of the day, and that's the noontime. The noontime. Now, how could we describe the noontime in this parallel with a man's life? And as I thought about it, it came to my mind, the noonday of life is to me that time that is probably the longest period of our time that we would refer to as the middle age of life. When the morning freshness of youth has passed away, and when we notice ourselves, experiencing some changes like at no other period of our lives. I mean, I think there are periods where there is more change. Don't get me wrong. Like infancy, where a little one can appear to change just from day to day, or in the teen years when you have to go buy britches for them about every other 2 weeks. I mean, there are some times where we physically have a lot of changes, but I think in that middle age of life is when we have the longest span and when we have the most change in our lives. But once we get through the teen years, And once we get through college and we get in our 20s or maybe in our early 30s, and we hit that time when we're facing the most dramatic and the most obvious changes in our lives, from then until maybe we retire, or perhaps even after retirement and we start getting up in years, that is the longest span of time considering the overall lifespan of a man. And so that long period of time when our lives are set, we are nailed, when we are nailed into a career, when we have a mortgage, when we have, when we are responsible for a family, and we realize that life is just more than a ball game or a good time or a party. The morning freshness of youth is passed away, and the brightness of the noonday sun is pounding down upon us. And I want you to notice that it's in those middle years that the psalmist gives us a bit of encouragement here. And he says that we should not be afraid of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And folks, when I read that statement and I saw that that day broken down, and then I compared that to life, I then stopped and thought, what might that destruction be? What is he talking about, the destruction at noonday? What is it that he could possibly be warning about? Could it be that the psalmist is referring to some particular struggles that we have to face in the middle age of life that we wouldn't necessarily have to face at any other time in life? The perils of noonday, the destruction of noonday. And so I want to speak to you tonight on that subject and deal with some of these perils that affect us in the middle age of life, that long period of our lives where so many of us are tonight. Now you say, well, I'm a teenager. Boy, hot dog, I don't have to listen tonight. Oh no, teenager, please listen tonight. I wish somebody had told me what I'm about to tell you when I was your age. I wish somebody had told me and given me the advice and counsel that I'm going to give you tonight. Because I want to serve notice on you. You're coming into the middle ages, young person, more rapidly than you can possibly imagine. You're going to be there before you know it. Again, you may sit here and say, well, you know, I'm past middle age, Pastor. I'm in the setting sun mode of life, so I don't have to listen tonight. Well, I still think that there are some lessons here that you can apply even if your noonday is long past. So let me give you just a couple of things tonight. First of all, let me suggest to you that it is this middle age of life that I think is often overlooked in our ministries. It is this middle age of life that is often overlooked. You know, we have our youth departments, and we have our youth pastors, and we have our youth meetings, and we have our youth emphasis, and we have our youth camps, and we have our bus ministry, and we have our Sunday school. You know, youth this and youth that. I mean, think about it. On the other end, we have our Super 60s, and we have our spectaculars, and we have our monthly meetings and our occasional trips, and all these fun activities for those that are the older members of our church family. But you know, we often skip over one of the largest populations of our church, and that is the middle-aged people that make up our churches. And of course, there are reasons that we focus on the teens. I mean, we want to make sure that in this time of great impression, we give them the right impression and set them upon the right foundation. I mean, our hope is that we can influence the children and influence a teenager so that when they do reach the middle years, a good foundation is under them. But this leads us to something that I think we need to be aware of, and I want you to think about. I think this leads us to a false assumption that I think needs to be called to our attention. We think that once a teenager goes through all the storms of youth, deals with the changes in their minds and in their bodies, I mean, deals with zits, you know. Let's be honest. I mean, that's a traumatic time when you wake up and boom, there it is. Deals with college, deals with a career choice. We think that when they, deal with marriage, that all of a sudden, when the middle years come and things are going to just settle down and life's going to get simple and easy. But boy, it doesn't, does it? No, sir. I mean, this is a false assumption that the middle years are easier years than our youth years. I believe there are destructions that waste at noonday, and that many find them and fall into them simply because they aren't warned that they're out there. We're not looking for them. It's almost with a sense of relief that youth and all of its problems are behind us, and then we go into the middle years of life with our guard down. And I'm convinced that the moral perils, none are more deadly than the perils of noonday. Now, my friend, listen, I could sit here tonight and reveal to you men and women by the dozens who at one time in the last 13 years sat in this very room on a Sunday night just like you are. And picked up the hymnal and would sing along with the rest of us. And they would smile and they would shake hands and they would bow their head and pray. And they would walk down the aisles and they would sing in the choir and would nod their heads in agreement when the Word of God was preached. And every now and then even say a hearty amen. But who are now spiritual disasters because of the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You see, it's almost like we think, wow, man, I made it. I'm now an adult. I'm now a responsible individual. And it's almost like we let our guard down once we survive being a young person. Most of us can look back and we can remember our youth. We can remember absolutely ridiculous, dumb things that we did. And we can marvel that we made it through. I've had many of folks tell me through the years that it was only by the infinite grace of God that they survived their teenage years. Well, I think most of us could probably say that. And many folks enter into their middle years thinking that, well, I made it, and they let their guard down. But wait a minute, folks. The psalmist here said that there's destruction that wasteth at noonday. I want you to stop and think about that. While it is true that there are many young people, and you've seen them and so have I, who wreck and ruin their lives while in their teens and while in their 20s, and they do some foolish thing that scars them for life, or they set themselves on a course that leads them to God's second best instead of what was God's first best for them. Instead of God's perfect will, they do something in their teen years that causes them to miss the perfect will of God. I want you to know, folks, that while there's a large number of people that do that, there is even a larger number of folks who find the destruction at noonday to suddenly jump upon them and knock them to the ground. You see, if the devil can't get you when you're a child, if the devil can't get you when you're a teenager, if the devil can't get you in your early 20s, he will be satisfied to wait until you get into the middle ages of life. He's more than willing to wait so that he can pounce upon you and get you later on. For you see, the destruction at noonday usually doesn't just destroy you. It also takes out your spouse, and it also takes out your children. So the devil is patient. He'll wait on you if he thinks he has a shot. He'll wait on you, and he'll try again. I truly wish, my friends, that I could bring you by and let you just be a fly on the wall and let you sit in on some of the conversations that that I've had in my office where the destruction at noonday just destroys some unsuspecting young man or some young lady. I wish that you could just come and listen, and behind the destruction is a little boy or a little girl who doesn't deserve the mess that is created by the devastation that is left for them to deal with. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, the middle age time period of life is something that we had better wake up and realize the devil would love to destroy. Now, you say, well, Pastor, how would you define what is the destruction of noonday? Well, I thought long and hard about it. And I think that perhaps the greatest peril that can come upon someone in their middle age years is that of losing faith. Now, let me explain to you what I mean. There is no greater period in the whole course of life where it is as difficult to walk by faith than in our middle years. You see, in childhood, faith comes naturally to us. You know, think about it. Faith is what childhood is all about. A child's faith was chosen by the Lord Jesus as an example of how all of us should see Christ. He said, except you become as a little child, you cannot see the kingdom of God. A child depends upon others for everything. A child has the perfect mind for trusting. We all remember when we were children, and we remember when our children were children. My goodness, they believed everything we said, didn't they? I never will forget when I was about 5 years old, I came home from school one day, and I said, look, Mom, and I reached up and I wiggled my tooth. And my mom said, I'm the best tooth puller in the world. Why don't you let me pull that tooth for you? And I believed her. I believed her. I just opened my mouth and said, have at it. She said, it won't hurt a bit. I believed her. She grabbed a hold of that thing and sent me into orbit. And when she got it out, she said, now what we're going to do is put this under your pillow, and the tooth fairy is going to come and put 50 cents under your pillow. And I believed her. I sat up until the wee hours of the morning, sitting there with my covers up, thinking somebody is coming in my room tonight. My mother said, I didn't think you were ever going to go to sleep. Children believe with a blind trust. And folks, that's why most folks are saved when they're children. You know, they haven't got the scars of sin. They haven't got the hardness of sin that has crept into their heart. You take a little 6-year-old kid and you start telling that 6-year-old kid about a Savior that came and was born in Bethlehem's manger, and he sung those Christmas carols. He knows about that Savior. And you start telling him about how this Savior loved children and how he went around healing people and raising folks from the dead, and how he preached and taught people to come and trust God. And then one day they came and arrested him took him and nailed him to a cross, and he suffered and died for them. And that little kid's sitting there with eyes this big and believes every single word that you tell them. You tell that same story to some old sin-hardened adult. And as we have heard over and over in testimony, sometimes you win them and sometimes you don't. More times than not, they refuse and they say no. You see, sin has a way of hardening folks. It has a way of squashing our faith. And that is why most folks are saved when they're children. They hear the story of Jesus and His love, and they're moved with a trusting and an accepting heart to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But then let's go to the other end. In old age, when the sun is setting upon a life, trusting is easy. I mean, an elderly person can sit and think about it and realize that sooner than later, they will leave this world and go out into eternity. And all that childhood faith comes running back to their minds. They start to realize that they need to make, as Peter said, their calling and election sure. But then sandwiched in between are the destructions at noonday. There is neither the stimulus of youth nor the experience and wisdom of age to lead and enable a man to trust in the unseen. We are no longer as we were in youth, dependent upon others to be happy and secure, but we have learned to become dependent upon ourselves. We can no longer depend upon mom and dad for security and for food and for clothing and for encouragement. We are self-dependent now in the middle age. Self-reliant. And most of the time in these middle years, we are healthy. And we have the energy to do many things. And not only that, but we are wealthy. We have the means to do many things. And here is one of the greatest destructions that lie at noontime. You probably haven't noticed this, but I have. And I didn't ask any of the staff. I'm sure they've noticed it too, especially the ones that have been here the longest. But there are so many families who were here when their children were in junior high school and high school. They were here when their children were at that impressionable age. But as soon as their kids grow up, and as soon as they graduate from high school and move on to college, as soon as they move out of the house, all of a sudden word comes that they're going to another church. What happens? I tell you, in a lot of places, in a lot of instances, faith wanes. Faith wanes. They simply wanted the best environment for their kids. They wanted their kids to be under the influence of a church that taught them morals and taught them decency and taught them chastity and taught them the Word of God. They wanted that for their kids, but now that the kids are gone, their faith is not what it used to be. They've moved on. They hoped their children would get the right foundation, but once the kids were gone, their faith was not enough to keep them here. And they start thinking about the things of the world. They start thinking about the material. They start thinking about the pleasures, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Like an unsuspecting foe, all of a sudden it rises up and it knocks them to the floor. Be careful, young dad. Be careful, young mother. Listen, you needed the Lord when you were a child. You needed the Lord when you were a teenager. And mark my word, you need the Lord's comfort and assurance when the sun begins to set. But I also want to serve notice on you that now, in the middle years, in the noonday, you need the Lord now. Because there is destruction that is awaiting, and you don't want that destruction to come and knock you down. When you hit the stride of your career, when you're living in that four-bedroom home with a two-car garage, when you have that big screen TV in your house, when your children are in a good college and things are going well, be careful and don't let your faith in God slip right there. Stay with it. Stay with it. I mean, think about it. We guard against the sins of youth. We preach on them all the time. They're brought up in the youth meetings on Wednesday nights. I mean, Pastor Josh preaches against drinking, and he preaches against doing drugs, and he preaches against premarital sexual relations. He preaches against rebellion. He preaches against listening to the wrong music, and so do I. I mean, the list is endless. But wait a minute. There's destruction at noon that wasteth at noonday, too. There's destruction that wasteth at noonday. There is a sin that needs to be preached on in our churches. It needs to be thundered on. It needs to be shouted from the rooftops. And that sin is a hardness of heart that leads us to our faith waning in Christ. Don't get hardened to the gospel, my friend. Don't get hardened to the Word of God. Don't get to the place where you go, there he goes again. I've heard it. I've heard it. I've heard it. No. Don't let your heart get like that. There's a destruction that wasteth at noonday. You know, I'm going to go back to it. I've said it before, but I'm going to say it again. I think a lot of folks, I mean a lot of folks that leave here, I think the reason they leave is because they sit here and listen to it Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And it's hot. It's do something. It's don't just sit there. It's walk with God. It's win souls. It's read your Bible. I dare say you go back and listen to the last 10 years of sermons, and every Sunday you're going to hear it, probably two times every Sunday. You're going to hear it, get in a book, get in a book, get in a book. I mean, stop and think about it, folks. There's not a Sunday pass but what you don't come in here and hear a soul winning report. There is not a Sunday pass but what you don't come in here and hear a bus report. There is not a Sunday pass but what you don't hear that we need to do something and serve the living God. And I think a lot of folks come and they sit and they just, for whatever reason, I mean, you know, maybe when you first come you like it. I've had a lot of you that, and a lot of folks that have left that when they, excuse me here, my nose is running for some reason, I can't catch it, who come in and say to me, wow, man, I like that kind of preaching. I like that. Man, I let it rip, preacher, amen. And then all of a sudden it's not amen, it's old me. And I believe with all my heart that if you sit here and you sit here and you sit here and you sit here, what can happen is if you don't act upon what you've heard, you will get, without you even realize that you're getting it, a hardness of heart that will come over you until you sit there and say one of these days, I think the Lord's leading us somewhere else. I'll guarantee you, if you're reading your Bible every day, I could never preach hard enough for you. I guarantee you, if you're reading your Bible and praying like you should, there is absolutely no way that I could stand up here in the last 13 years and make you even one bit uncomfortable.
Amen.
Amen. You getting this? I want y'all to know this has been in the hopper for about 3 weeks. I mean, think about it, folks. That sin is a hardness of heart. Man, we get in those middle years and all of a sudden our minds don't, they're not on spiritual things. Our minds are on success. We're not on spiritual things. Our mind's not on my walk with God. My mind's not on winning souls to Christ. The mind gets on pleasure. It gets on things. It gets on me. It gets on the material. It gets on money. It gets on bank accounts. It gets on getting and having. And what happens is our hearts get a little hardened and the things of the Lord get shoved aside. That's a destruction that wasteth at noonday. Man, I tell you, folks, listen, you got to trust me on this because I have seen it. Oh, my soul, I have seen it and seen it and seen it. Not only that, I've saw it. I've watched it. And I have seen these folks, they get into their late 40s and their early 50s, and their kids are gone, and all of a sudden they start missing on Wednesday night. And then all of a sudden they start missing on Sunday night. And then all of a sudden they start missing on Sunday morning. And the next thing you know, word comes back, well, they weren't happy. They weren't being fed. All baloney. Their faith waned. You say, well, Pastor, what do we do about that? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Here's what you do about that. You stay in this book right here. Man, you just make up your mind that every day of my life I'm going to read this book. I don't care what the devil tries to throw at me. I don't care what life throws at me. And stay in the book. And your faith won't wane. Oh, dear middle-aged Christian. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus said to another middle-aged Christian one time, Peter, I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. I pray for thee that thy faith fail not. And you know, in a society where everything else is failing, you see an awful lot of Christians that are letting their faith fail along with it. Man, get your faith where it needs to be. The Lord knows the arrow that flies in the morning as the devil shoots for the heart of a young person. But He knows the destruction that wastes at noonday too. He certainly does. So let me challenge you, Christian, guard your heart. My goodness, just put a post, put a sentry at your heart. Just put a sentry. Right here is your sentry.
Amen.
Let it stand and guard your heart. Stay in the Word. Stay in church. Stay close to the Lord. Don't let the world come along and woo you away from faith in Him. There is a destruction that will cause you to waste away if you aren't diligent in your walk and in your relationship with the Lord. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for the Word. Now bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I don't know how to give an invitation tonight. The truth were told, if I had you raise hands tonight, every one of us in here would have to put our hands up. We'd all have to raise our hands. But folks, listen, there's a devil out there that's trying to destroy you. There's a devil out there that's trying to tear your heart apart. And if he gets your heart, he's going to get your spouse, and he's going to get your children, and he's going to get your grandchildren. I mean, if he can do it, he's going to do it. It's his game plan. Oh, that we would just sit here tonight and say, I'm going to hide the Word of God in my heart, that I won't sin against the Lord. We just sit here tonight and say, my faith is not going to get destroyed at noonday. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands tonight, because if we were going to be honest with ourselves and with God, every person in this room would have to raise their hands tonight. But folks, would you draw nigh to God right now? You draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. Let's let the Lord do something in our hearts this evening. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. Our Heavenly Father, as we pray just before the invitation, we ask that you will speak to every heart tonight. Open our understanding to what we have heard. Lord, help us to just determine that we're going to live for Christ, that we're not going to let the destruction that wasteth at noonday knock us to the ground. Lord, we're going to stand firm, stand strong, and live for Jesus. Lord, give us that faith and give us that encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.